motherfucker, don't you mention my
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Roach Coach Podcast, the journey to create the new metal canon. My name is Lauren Kozlowski. With me, as always, the Indigo Angel, Jennifer Bloomer.
Hello.
And the original Roach Rider, Mr. Matt Noz.
Keep it rolling, baby.
There we go. Today, we return to friends. We return to say hello to Disturbed and their second album, Believe. But first, we gotta talk about who's tweeting.
Who's tweeting?
So many people are tweeting, Facebook messaging us, talking to us in lobbies where we are minding our own business, and that's totally fine if you're respectful. Alan Smock, longtime listener, is a respectful young man, came up to me and he said, Lauren, I love the show. I said, good start to this conversation. He said, you guys need to put Twist by Korn in the canon. You talk about it in every episode. You bring up the word, someone says the word twist, everyone says twist,
twist.
And he goes for like 5 minutes and he says, I will sit by myself and be yelling, put it in the canon. So before we started recording, we talked about Twist at the live show, June 7th, 9 p.m. We'll be listening to Korn's Follow the Leader. We will also reconsider Twist for the canon.
Whoa.
That's right.
It's a first.
We heard your appeal, and we will
allow it.
Whatever you do with an appeal, we'll do that.
So the first, you'll be the first Roach Coach live show and the first Roach Coach appeal. There you go.
All right.
So Jenny, Linkin Park's, they're having... Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Just admitted you were from Michigan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're having a week. They're really having a week.
They're all over the place.
So when we did our last episode, we had talked about that they had told their fans of Hybrid Theory to get over it. We're going in a new direction, and this is it. So since then, the album's come out. I listened to it. It's terrible. It's so bad.
All right.
It's not new metal.
Like their other albums are terrible.
No, no.
I know.
Jenny.
I'm being a troll.
But then we got sent this article. Jenny, do you want to read this headline?
Yes, I do. It says, Linkin Park to fans who call them sellouts, I will punch you in your fucking mouth. You're a fucking pussy.
Wow. Things got heated real fast. Real fast for Linkin Park.
Yeah.
So if you go to Stereo Gum, they have the entire long thing from Chester about how angry he is that people are not liking this album and liking the direction. But that's a real extreme. I wish the album was as hard as that quote. That's all I got to say about that.
Did you hear Corey from Slipknot's response?
Oh, that's right. What did he say? What did
he say? He was basically like, "Hey, dude, bad road to go down."
Yeah,
I'm paraphrasing terribly, but he was just like, "Don't alienate your fans."
Well, speaking of Corey, we got some responses to our Slipknot episode.
Yes,
and let me tell you.
Yeah,
for all the shit I took. For calling Slipknot nerds the first time around.
The Roach Riders came to you.
Oh, man. Elisa Verna said, I love this album and they're all total nerds. Stephen Tilbury says, I've always thought bands who have to stress how crazy, dangerous, wild, maladjusted their fans are super fucking nerdy. Thank you. See, it's not just me. It doesn't mean I don't like them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just nerds.
Yeah. Listener JR, he said that he felt like the lyrics from Iowa were stolen from the MASH theme. Don't know what that means.
Suicide is painless.
Oh.
All right. right, all right.
Okay.
I proved my worth.
There we go.
My worth. Yes. Came through.
Yeah,
in the
clutch. We keep Matt in a little cage until he proves his worth, and then he gets to get out of it.
Oh God, my legs are so sore.
I know, it's fine.
And listener Caleb, he said the new episode just goes to prove that this podcast can change my views. I used to hate Iowa, now I love it. My plague equals godlike.
All right.
Can I make an admission?
Yes.
I have listened to Iowa since the episode.
Look at that. Changing lives over here.
It's so good.
It is really good. I mean, you know what? Nerds do good work. Why do you think we have anything? So.
And last we got a tweet from listener Garrett. He said, big congrats on 50 episodes, Roach Coach. Keep grinding and tell your haters to keep drinking that haterade.
Which is what we say.
Absolutely. Thank you, Garrett.
Keeping it 100.
Keeping it 100. And then, Jenny, we got a tweet from...
We sure did.
From Brad Hicks.
Our own villain.
Yes, he's really
leaning into that role.
He is.
He said to Garrett Fuller and Roach Coach... Thank God I stocked up. I'm treating June 7th like the gathering of the Juggalos, soaking everyone in it. Hashtag Brad Hicks drums. Hashtag Brad Hacks tweets. Brad, you know, when we were talking about nerds earlier, you're a nerd. You're a nerd. I dare you to treat it like gathering of the Juggalos, because you know what happens there? Everyone has a great time.
That's
have you ever
right.
been? I have been to an ICP show. Yeah. I went to a Hollow Wicked one year. I was working it. Uh-huh. And it was really fun. Okay.
Do I
like ICP? Not especially. Mm-hmm. But man, their fans are all super cool and nice to each other.
Yep.
And they were all having fun. And someone gave me a poncho because I didn't think I was going to get soaked. And they were like, you really need this. They were kind. Everybody was having a great time. So family. Treat it like the gathering of the Juggalos.
There you go. Well, think about that Korn show. Everybody was super cool at Korn. Super cool. You know?
That is true.
Yeah. All right, that's it for Who's Tweeting. Keep on tweeting at us at Roach Coach on Twitter. Say hi at Roach Coach on Facebook, or send us an email at roachcoachpodcast@gmail.com. That is Coach with a K. The album of the week, Believe by Disturbed. Jenny, when did this album come out?
This album came out on September 17th, 2002.
That's the come down.
It sure is.
That's the come down.
Almost a year to the date of the beginning of the come down.
Yeah. Well, any history with Believe?
I am sure I heard some of these songs on the radio. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a one. So, nope. Pretty boring. Okay. Nope. How about you, Lauren?
Yeah, same. I don't even think I heard any of these songs on the radio. Listening to this, doing my listens on this, I never at any point was like, oh, this track. No, like I as I said on the first Disturbed episode, Disturbed was not anybody that I was fucking with. So when this album came out, I was like, yeah, I didn't even give it the time of day. Matt Nas, Believe.
Yeah, same thing. I guess I was listening to my own music in the car at that point, so I wasn't listening to the radio as much, because I couldn't tell you the single, whereas like The Sickness obviously had The
right.
Sickness.
Absolutely.
Down with The Sickness.
All right, we got the album artwork here. A big thrift.
It was a big thrift.
Yep. It's like $4.75.
That is correct.
That's a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. When you open it, it looks like a moss, but it's just Draymond's face. Look, Matt. Isn't that funny?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's just Draymond's dumb face.
It's Draymond in fractals.
Yeah. It's okay. So we get all of them. And then on the inside, it looks like perhaps it is like grass that has been burnt or something, because in the inside we have a bunch of religious symbols, including a pentagram, a Star of David, I think, some kind of star, something cross-like, and then some celestial stuff.
Yeah, basically they have every major denomination's symbol.
Oh yeah,
it's mashed into one.
Yeah, and then they're separated on the inside, and then we get to see all these little boys. They look like professional wrestlers, every single one of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Is the guy in here? Where's the guy?
I did not see the guy. He's hidden.
Where the heck is the guy?
You're right. I did not see the guy.
One of my favorite things about Disturbed was the guy.
Yeah, it's funny because the way they incorporate the guy on these later ones, like some of them, he's like on the cover, like lunging at you. On their most recent album, he's part of a mountain.
Yeah.
Like the guy's a mountain. But you're right. There's no the guy in this one. But this is the thing about this album. This is a concept album.
Yes.
Like this is a Disturbed concept album about Draymond dealing with religion, his grandfather who passed away, if I'm correct.
Yep, that's right.
And basically, I was very surprised as we'll go through and we go through the tracks that there is this sort of weird connective tissue thematically for these songs dealing with belief and how your beliefs structure your life that I did not expect to find in a Disturbed album. This was successful? Yes?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, it debuted at number one, okay. I want to say. Yeah. So it did okay. Looks like AllMusic really liked it, but it was basically,
you mean critically, you mean it did okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. It debuted at number one on the Billboard 200. It was their first number one debut, and it sold like 284,000 copies in its first week. Yeah, it's double platinum.
There we go.
That's a hit. I guess it did okay.
That's a hit. It did all right.
Yeah.
47:20. That's respectful of our time.
That is respectful of our time, yeah.
Now, here's an interesting wrinkle. Genres. Alternative metal. Mm-hmm. Hard rock. New metal listed third.
Yes.
And we will definitely be talking about that. I did bring with me and I haven't brought this up in a while, the new Rolling Stone album guide.
All right.
Revised edition 2004. And they have a section on Disturbed.
Okay. Matt is looking furiously for the guy. Any sign of the guy.
Any sign of the guy?
Missing. I was trying to see if it was one of those 3D view things.
Matt is the detective on the case. The guy is missing. We have to find him. Ugh. I'll be really bummed if there's no guy anywhere.
Okay, so Rolling Stone album guide. They gave The Sickness 2 stars. They gave Believe 2.5.
Ooh, I disagree.
I disagree with that as well. Okay, so this is what they have to say about Believe. They said Believe was one of 2002's more hotly anticipated new metal albums on which they turn up the industrial brattle and gothic melodrama. Draymond makes a deal with God on the clattering prayer, but you can practically hear the walls bleed on Rise and Intoxication, and they can't seem to avoid the inadvertently hilarious. The album closer, Darkness, finds Draymond getting his croon on, singing for the laughter and singing for the tears, because with any luck, maybe tomorrow the good Lord will take him away. Oof. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So Matt, you're gonna keep looking for the guy.
Yeah, I'm hard in the paint for the
okay.
guy.
Okay. All right. We're gonna see if we can find the guy in the liner notes. It's strange he's not there because he's the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the second album. You wouldn't abandon the guy on the second album.
Yeah.
They abandoned the guy.
It's crazy they would abandon a guy on the album called Believe. I'm just gonna say.
Maybe they abandoned the guy for the guy.
The guy. Ooh.
Meaning God. Just to be clear. Okay.
Okay. Then, well, yeah, let's dive into this thing.
First song is Prayer.
Oh, Matt. Draymond is back.
Yeah.
So I want to say this before we talk about this. One of the joys that this audience on June 7th at our live show will get to experience is the Matt Nas facial expressions at Nu Metal Songs.
Oh, yeah.
We get it to see it when we record the show, but you guys don't get to, we get to tell you about it. But to see Matt Nas's face when moments happen in a song for the first time is a true joy. Jenny, I think you agree.
Oh, yeah. He just looks so let down.
But then also confused.
Oh, I'm so confused.
And yeah. So anyway, you'll get to experience that in person. Right now, we're getting to experience it as Matt encounters prayer for the first time. Matt, your thoughts?
My history with the album is nothing. My history with Disturbed is just the episode that we did, where you two got down with the sickness,
indeed,
which was a big surprise to me. Hearing this coming off of my memories of the sickness, I feel like they heard a Creed album and went, we could probably work some of that in.
It's a lot smoother.
Yeah.
It's a lot smoother.
It's a lot smoother. It's not, I don't know, it just doesn't feel as aggressive.
It's not as aggressive. It's not as weird.
No, it's not like weird, dumb fun.
No. And I'll have to be honest, when I listened to this album, I did the three listens. I did a Christ God challenge on it. And I have to tell you, the first listen in my car, like half of the album, I was like, oh, yes, fuck yes, Disturbed. And then I started to get a bit of a sinking feeling. And then my second listen on like headphones, I was like, this album might suck.
Yeah.
And then when I did my notes, I was all over the place. I texted you early in the night and was like, the sickness, I still got it. But then I was like, maybe I should walk that back. I'm very all over the place with this one. This song sets a tone for the album.
Yeah.
For good or for bad. Jenny, thoughts on prayer?
You know, I thought it started out promisingly. We had some weird Draymond vocals going there, and I liked that. But yeah, you know, once we get, as you know, not a fan of the smooth vocals. I mean, I think that this was the first single from the album that they released it on August 14th, 2002. And the song is about, it was inspired by a couple things. It was inspired by, as Lauren mentioned, Draymond's grandfather died and he had a very strange relationship with him. So they were close when they were young. And then when Draymond got into, being in a metal band, his grandfather wouldn't talk to him until they were on Ozfest in 2001. His grandfather finally decided that he wanted to talk to him again, but by the time that happened, it was like hours before he died, and so they never got to like have any closure on their relationship. Okay. So it was inspired by that, and it was also inspired by the way that clergy responded to September 11th, specifically Jerry Falwell and like Oral Roberts. And Draymond says that he used the situation that they used the situation as a, like, instead of a means of empowerment, saying it was their own fault because everybody was decadent and promiscuous. This is a conversation between Draymond and God.
This is a strange thing, and we've talked before about changing taste, but this was a weird position for me where I was like, I'm not on board with these smooth vocals. I'm not on board with these clean vocals.
Man, Iowa took us all.
I think it did. I don't think Draymond is a bad singer. I never was thinking, oh, I think he's bad at this. You know, my thought was like, this is not what I need from you.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to sing like this, do it on the David Draymond solo album. You know what I mean? Draymond sings the standards, all right? But if you're in Disturbed and you got this band behind you bringing these riffs, you need to be wah all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do.
Even the song craft is different, though. Like,
yeah. This seems to have been, I wrote, this is, seems to have been made for stadiums and radio.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with that.
And I actually went back just to make sure, like I wasn't crazy, and I just did a quick skim of the sickness.
Yeah, because that was my question.
Oh, like that record still fucking rules because okay. It's totally weird. It's like Jenny says, it's weird and it's dumb, but it's a fun dumb. And Draymond's just doing weird stuff with his voice on like every track, and Dropping Plates is still one of the best songs ever made. So I mean, these are all the things that are going on the sickness that for whatever reason they smoothed it out. Once again, listener Alan Smock told me that the anticipation for this album for people who were into Disturbed was very high. And in general, hardcore people who were really into the sickness did not like this album.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
So,
you know, and I will say this is like, there are a lot of comments on songmeetings.com about this, mm-hmm. but they are not wild. They're just like, this is what it's about. This is a reasonable... I mean, there are a couple like, fuck God.
Yeah. I went in kind of expecting bedlam, but I mean, after the Slipknot episode, I mean, you're not going to get Hellfire down here. That's, you know, true. What did I say? A Hellstorm? Is that what I said it was?
Yeah, it's a Hellstorm.
Yeah. I said there's a couple incredible ones. They're all, let's see, Zeta Omega had a good one. He says, according to the lead singer / songwriter, the song is actually about a conversation between himself and God. Yeah, he has all these like accentuations and capitalizations, like he's yelling at the other people. But Undisturbed, commenter Undisturbed, this is one of my favorite comments, you guys. And I know I say that a lot, but this is one of my favorite comments.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, man, this is sung at Ozfest, and this is what David said before. So I thought of giving you a little gift, a little present for the people of this city. How would you like to hear some new Disturbed? ... Well, you got to have some enthusiasm there. ... Let me fucking hear you. This is a conversation between me and God. It is called prayer. And then the song began. I think the inaugural speech before the song explains it all. Whatever. It's a freaking good song. I'm in love with Disturbed.
All right. Well,
the fact that he included the I can't fucking hear you part is so funny to me. I just.
That's Draymond, you know? You get wheeled out in a goddamn Hannibal Lecter suit and people aren't screaming. I mean,
yeah.
No way.
Yeah. I feel like if they toured this album, though, I feel like he would retire it. Like, I feel like there is a solemnness around this. And the fact that you can't even find the guy.
Yeah. It's pretty sad.
If you know where the guy is, please let us know.
We're gonna
guy watch.
Yeah. Guy watch.
Cash reward offered. I think I have $60 in my bag. I'll give it to anybody who can find the guy. All right. Up next, we got Liberate. I became a bit hopeful.
Yeah. Here we go. So, better. I like the blippiness. I like the fact that he says, liberate your mind, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
A whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only song they swear on, though, on this album.
Really?
Yeah. It's the only song on Apple Music that has an explicit thing, and I'm pretty sure it's the only song they swear on.
Interesting.
And part of me is like, is that why it's the... best song or one of the best songs on the album? I mean, yeah, but right away, like, it has that weird, like, immediately it's like a real good Disturbed song should make you like be like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like with prayer, you're like, oh, this is smooth. Like I can handle this, you know? Like I shouldn't be able to handle it. I should be worried. Here's the thing. The guy in the first album rolls out in a Hannibal Lecter costume. And the guy on this one is trying to have a conversation with God. You're not going to be as crazy. It's just how it goes. But see, yeah, I kind of like this one.
I like this one too.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, maybe we're going to have an upswing here. Mm-hmm. This was the third and final single from this record, by the way.
Okay.
For those of you keeping track, mm-hmm. I liked it.
Comments on songmeanings.com. Once again, just a lot of earnest conversations about conversation with God. Commenter Ironwolf935 literally has like seven paragraphs of stuff here, just breaking it down with excerpts from the Bible. Okay.
These lyrics, lots of religious debates going on at songmeanings.com.
Yeah. Whose Messiah are we talking about? Yeah. Well, I don't
Who's
know.
Whose Messiah?
You know, and it's like, it, you know, and these are big, nice conversations between commenters with names like Lead Against the Zep and Cornfucker666.
And Eeyore, 1983.
Yeah. I like Cornfucker666 because it's like, oh, you're someone who fucks corn? Is that what I
For
get?
For the devil.
For the devil. Okay. All right. Yeah. Then I'm on board. I'm on board. Closer, warmer to what we want from Disturbed.
Those verses, straight ahead Disturbed. That chorus.
Yeah.
Little smooth.
That chorus, to me, felt like an 80s metal chorus. I might be full off, which is fine because I can deal with it because I didn't listen to a lot of 80s metal, but it felt like more of a, it felt more like a hair metal-y chorus to me. Like,
play it a little more.
Yeah. All right, let me go back to it. Fully on board with this.
Oh yeah, totally. You know, I don't get a hair metal thing so much as like those rock bands that were like right in between, right before like early 90s, like a Tesla or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just my metal, as we've established, is garbage. My knowledge is garbage. But.
Well, no, I think you're onto something.
I just think that sound when I hear, and listen, this is in no way, get ready for this profound nugget.
Yeah, I'm walking everything back.
I just think, when I hear that, I just think butt rock.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's maybe it. That is it.
That's an
emphatic
it. Yes. That's what I mean. I said Tesla. Yes.
It's just kind of like butt rock, and I don't even know what the fuck that means. But when I hear it, I know.
You know, it's butt rock.
That's what I think.
Here's what it is. I think the other thing was like the difference between this album and The Sickness, and the difference between this album and like a lot of like the new metal that we love and canonize on this show, is that butt rock is not too dumb and earnest.
Yeah, a little bit too dumb. Like, too, you could, it's fun.
Yeah. On the first Disturbed album, Draiman is trying to be creepy and he's whispering, and we have the No Mommy rant, and he's just being like, you know, really over the top theatrical with a little tongue in the cheek. Like a little bit. Like he knows.
Like he knows.
He knows, and is sort of feeding into it. But you know what I mean? But it's still like there's a touch of remove, and it, but also trying to be badass. It's a lot of things moving around.
If you told me that this song was on the end of Final Destination, the straight to video version, I would be like, well, of course it is.
Yeah. Just like a Korn, a Limp Bizkit. Even, you know, like a Head PE or something like that. Even though it's not necessarily new metal, but it's like the orgy, or, you know, even, you know what this, maybe this misses more than anything else. It doesn't have like a swagger to it. It's a little too tight and clean.
That's probably the subject matter choice.
That might be it too. I mean, yeah. And so, We're only on track two. We might be tipping our hand a little bit about the rest of these songs, but
but just a little.
But that seems to be more than anything maybe the big thing. And because halfway through this thing, I mean, I was I was having that thought of like, how much of this is even nu metal? Like, I'd say this song is.
Yeah, for sure.
But that first song, and that's the thing, because you can fall into your nu metal into metal. Or you can fall into the other category where you turn into like a butt rock.
Butt rock, yeah.
Which I think Wikipedia needs to get that tag.
Somebody add that tag. All right, up next we've got Awaken.
Doing like a Maynard thing again, like on the first album.
We got a dance going on over here. Oh. Matt's swaying his arms around. Oh.
I'm here for this chorus.
Yeah.
This chorus is like... So, yeah. I want more of that yah. You know, I want those... I want the onomatopoeias. I want the guttural groan stuff from him. You know? And... there's not enough of that. I mean, yeah, I like this one for the chorus. The chorus kind of, when that chorus hit, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm on board with this one.
Yeah, don't. Here's something that we do a lot that I think that we really need to work on.
Uh-huh.
We let actually listening to the songs like get in our way of having opinions about them before we like talk about them. But you know who doesn't do that? Drachen.
This is my favorite. I love this comment.
Songmeetings.com.
This is a first, by the way. This is we've never encountered this.
No. This is what they said. Have not heard the song yet. Will tomorrow, but by the lyrics, this is my favorite of Believe. So I feel like we've been approaching this all wrong. Like
we may have made an error.
We should read the lyrics to every album.
Yeah.
Pick our favorites that way. And then maybe listen to them. Might be good.
I mean, I would be willing to try it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a fun challenge. Like, you've never heard the album before. Read the lyrics and decide which song you're going to like the best.
We also had Banana Phobia.
Oh, what did they say?
They said, oh my God. That's it's all caps pronounced O-W-M-A-G-O-W-D. I think he's just saying to hurry up and realize that for empathy, you must experience it yourself. I'd like to say hi to my mom and dad, Uncle Joe, Bubba, and the dog.
Is this an acceptance speech?
Oh, they're being played off.
Yeah. But yeah, so that, you know, I was glad that at least song meaning started to come through a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I thought the song was okay.
There was a guy, oh, here it is, Travis Wonderbar. He just wanted to let someone, apparently someone else had commented somewhere else that there was a guy in Linkin Park named Linkin Park, and he was like, there's no one in the band Linkin Park named Linkin Park.
What?
It's me, Linkin Park.
We named the band after our drummer, Park, Linkin Park.
Linkin Park does sound like the name of like somebody who goes to like a Montessori school and like the Upper East Side.
You're
or
right.
Something.
There, here's the thing. There's definitely someone in the world named Linkin Park. And
for
they're
sure.
So upset every time the album cycle comes around again.
It's not spelled like that, though. It's spelled like Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, did you look him up?
I am right now. I have no doubt in my mind that Lincoln... Oh, you know, I just Googled Linkin Park. And so it's just all these cities. God, guys. Okay. I have a computer that you can unlock with just your finger.
Jenny has the fanciest computer right now, and still.
And I still can't figure anything out.
You know what?
Son of a bitch.
You get all this technology, it really still comes down to the person.
That's true. And that's my job, too. And I'm just not good at it. I'll keep looking for Linkin Park.
All right. Any luck on finding the guy?
No guy.
Okay, no guy.
Where's the guy? Where's Linkin Park? Everybody's missing.
Title track is next. Believe.
To deceive, to remove all chance of doubt and be received with your lie. The deception is complete when you can see and decide to reject your life's sacrifice to me. Man, I'm scared of your sin.
Mind his singing on this one.
I don't, but the problem is when he goes into that harder tone in his voice, it's such a tease, you know, because then you're like, no, that's what I really want, you know. Also, I feel like, and I hate to bring it up because Jenny doesn't like it, but this pre-chorus is weird because it's basically the chorus and it undercuts the actual chorus.
Well, Lauren, pre-chorus is chorus. Pre-chorus can get you pregnant, as I try
so,
to
I mean,
say.
So pre-chorus is basically a chorus. And so, okay, that makes sense. There are... Matt Nas. Oh, no.
Matt's going away.
Pre-chorus everywhere.
Oh. There are kick drums on this song that are clearly tamped down, and it pisses me off.
Okay.
You can hear them. They're deep in the mix, and I'm like, bring them up. Bring up them kicks. I wrote that Draymond is really doubling down on these religious themes. Yeah. I think that was around this point when I was like, is this a concept album?
Yes. Also, I think it's worth mentioning the members of the band. I forgot.
Oh my gosh, we forgot. Yeah,
we were so busy looking for the guy in Linkin Park who I've already given up on finding. R.I.P. Linkin Park.
All right.
David Draymond on vocals, Dan Donegan on guitar and keyboards, Steve Fuzz Kmack on bass, and Mike Wengren on drums.
Okay.
And Johnny Kay produced this.
Okay, and Johnny Kay, he did the first album, right?
I have no idea.
I think he did.
Probably.
Hold on. Let's see which of us can find it out first.
Okay.
Yep, he did.
Ah, fuck. Yeah, well, he also did Plain White Tees. Okay.
All right.
All right.
He's got a variety in his resume. All
right. So, yes, again, the comments. Do you have any particular comments you wanted to bring out of songmeanings.com?
I don't think I had any... Bunny in particular. Did you have anybody?
No, it's just a lot about like, wait a minute, this is about God.
Yeah, that was kind of, you know, I hate to say it, but it was a little disappointing because I'm normally used to some real wild shit. And more than not, it was people sincerely having conversations about hypocrisy and religion. And I was like, yeah, I mean, you're right. Every now and again, somebody rolling in and be like, Disturbed kicks ass, best concert.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we need those.
Yeah.
All right. Well, up next, we've got Remember.
We'll be right back. washes over me. I can't describe it. Pain I felt so long ago, I don't remember. Till I fall so I can see my devastation. Feelings from some.
A lot of head shaking
ago,
going on. I'm
not feeling remember. It.
Matt, you go first.
All right.
You go first.
The placement of this album is perfect in the come down.
Yes.
It is absolutely not the album we want from them.
No. The thing is, though, is its placement in the come down and the fact that they are basically abandoning all of these new metal touchstones to be more of a butt rock band, which, as we know from history, monetarily speaking, is the way to go.
Oh yeah, dear God, yes. All the money's in the butt rock.
So that makes sense. I will tell you, listening to this song when doing notes, I said out loud, come on.
Well,
yeah,
I agree. So this was the second single from this album, and Draymond said that this is his favorite song from their first two albums.
What?
Yeah.
Let me frame this a little bit in my mind and see if it helps you guys.
Sure.
I'm going to say it. It's a post 9/11 world.
Uh-huh.
We're in a place where the moody darkness of the first album isn't probably what's as popular. Like, I don't know what is as popular on the radio right now, but the wave of nu metal has crested.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's...
Well, let's see. 2002.
So when was Evanescence?
That's 2003.
Okay.
And
then we had Creed in 2001.
Creed in 2001 with Weathered, I want to say.
Probably.
That was the record. 2001, 2002. I definitely remember being in college and like hearing that shit a lot. And then you've also got... Korn have dropped Untouchables, but Korn have been MIA since 99.
Right.
So you've had like essentially, you know, two.
Well, when did Issues come out?
99.
Okay.
Yeah. So Issues is 99, fall of 99. Then Korn don't put anything out for 2000, 2001. And then Untouchables comes out summer of 2002. And so, you know, and that record is considered like, I mean, that's the record that British critics love from Korn. They think that there are songs on there that sound like Duran Duran and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary.
I'm looking at like what was popular in 2002. And I'm seeing a lot of Nickelback, a lot of Nelly, Kelly Clarkson, stuff like that. So this was like right when you got some Ja Rule in there.
Oh, it was summer 2000, Eminem show.
Yeah.
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 Well, is summer 2002 Avril Lavigne?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure that's right. 2002 or 2003. I think it was 2002.
I think it was 2002.
I hear this song, and all I'm thinking is what you said earlier. This is a stadium anthem.
Right.
But butt rock is the way to put it. It is.
I'm so glad. I mean, I said butt rock.
But it is. It's like, it's not dumb enough.
Right.
It's not goofy. It doesn't feel earned. You know, like when you said, hey, they've taken me on this trip this far. I think you said it with Iowa. Like by the time that they did track 12 or whatever it was, that was weird.
Oh, like the shape, I think, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You were like, I'm on board. They took me on the journey. Disturbed has taken me on no journey because the whole thing feels like anthems.
Yeah.
And I hate to be a guy who's like, well, you can't make an album of anthems. But when I think about it for the new metal canon, it's like, eh.
Right.
Yeah, like this song is not new metal.
No, not at all. Well, the other thing is that just I don't really think there's ever a moment of where the song is rocking so hard that you feel like you're going to lose yourself in the rocking, if that makes sense.
No.
You know, because, I mean, we always come back that like, you know, this album doesn't have a bodies. This album does not have a bodies because it doesn't want to have one.
Right.
These guys could write 12 bodies. They kind of did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that first album's got Jesus Christ. Well, that's the thing. In my notes, I got so upset. I said, come on. And then I said, drop some fucking plates. I wrote that in my notes.
I was the whole time like, come on, where's dropping plates?
You guys, yeah.
Come on. Ah. All right. Well.
And there is one comment.
Okay.
Vampirus Noah, June 15, 2003. Okay, first things first. This song is probably my favorite Disturbed song. I love it because the first time I heard it, I thought it sounded distinctly different from Disturbed's other songs, and you just gotta love the lyrics. Okay. Anyways, I'm not entirely sure what David's singing about in this song, but I do think it's pretty obvious that he's singing about how a person can hide behind a false facade in an attempt to ignore and forget the pain he, she has felt in the past. Meh. Sorry for pointing out the obvious, but that's all I can think of right now. Sticking tongue out emoji.
All right.
I think there's something going on with Vampirus Noah. I think she's just putting a lot out there.
All right. Well, yeah, she's just masking her pain.
Yeah.
Who could blame her?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what else masks pain? Intoxication. The next song.
So okay. They have all of these hot opens.
Here we go. This is a total activate the pit moment, I would say, for this album.
You're getting closer.
Here we go.
This is new metal as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, this would totally fit in on the sickness, yeah. I like this one too. He still has the grit in his voice on this chorus, so I give it a pass.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it's a track on Believe, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, this one, I mean, at least. I don't know. This is one of my favorites on this album.
It's the riff is big and dumb.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's what it needs. If it's... your name is Disturbed. Why would you try to be tasteful? You're Disturbed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your name is literally Disturbed.
There is something wrong with you.
Yes.
You're Disturbed.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah.
What can you do?
What can you do? Pantera Maiden... 9872. She said, I happen to think Disturbed is a great band, but I am a musician and I totally understand your point. She was responding to someone else. She said, Disturbed is repetitive, but the lyrics are a show of intelligence. Draymond, who is considered a genius, knows what he is doing.
Time out.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on. This is what I'm going to leave it at. If Disturbed is so bad, why do they have a tremendous following of thousands who see them as gods? Whereas Iced Earth, Opeth, and those sorts who are great aren't getting as much credit as Disturbed. Lots to chew on there.
How do we know Draymond's a genius?
He's just considered a genius.
he knows what he's doing.
Like, I consider Draymond a genius, therefore he's considered a genius?
Well,
yeah.
Lots of people have the sickness.
I really took this to be the same way that, like, if someone were to buy me a mug that said world's greatest dad, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We haven't all gotten together and raised our sons in a competition. You know? So maybe Draymond, you know, met somebody and they're like, this guy's a genius in this moment.
He's the world's greatest dad of geniuses.
Geniuses, yes. Yes.
World's biggest genius. That's what his coffee mug says. Oh, boy.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Up next, we've got Rise.
Again with these hot opens.
Hot opens.
Command
Okay, so yeah, this thing's got a weird situation of decent verses, but then it totally whiffs the chorus by going smooth and just, yeah, this thing could have been really killer, and it kind of whiffs it.
Yeah, at this point, I kind of was like, I don't hate these songs.
No.
This is just not what I want.
Not what I want from Disturbed.
Yeah, they went more of a pop hook.
Yeah.
Instead of like the Sicknesses hooks.
Right. Which are like words with growls. Get some growls.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Yeah. Also, at the same time, though, I'm not upset about any of this subject matter.
No. I totally, like, I was thinking about that. Like, I totally give them credit for, like, exploring something that isn't just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I do think it's, and it's not, and it's also not, like, that weird thing where, like, some bands will have songs that are just like, God, it's dumb.
Right.
These are, like, actually, I mean, everyone knows that Draymond's a genius, but.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah. Common knowledge.
Common knowledge that he's a genius, but, like. Yeah. I actually do feel like these lyrics are, dare I say, thoughtful.
Yes. This is definitely someone who has had conversations with himself, with other people. He's definitely somebody saying, someone died, and this album is that reflection of that, you know, of my dealing with their death, dealing with that. Because I think we hear that all the time, and then you listen to the album, and there's like a couple songs that are like sad, but then there's like some song where it's like, went down to the mall today, found a girl, and we hooked up. You're like, oh, is this about your buddy who died? That song? No. A song. But this whole album is like so clearly about this guy died, dealing with that loss, did not get to reconcile. Also, his feelings on religion, like him doubting, because I'm sure that came into play. This guy who, you know, he feels that he abandoned, you know, his faith to be a rock star, and then he didn't get to reconcile with them before he died. I'm sure Draymond went through some soul searching of like, is this rock star lifestyle worth it? You know, did I make the right choice? You know, am I leaving people behind? And that is totally reflected, you know, in these lyrics over and over again. But as we all know, Draymond is considered a genius. So, I mean, this is not a surprise.
No, Draymond's a genius.
Yes.
I think we know.
We know this. And this song is also about rising above the fakes and the posers. We
need one of those.
You gotta
rise above those fakes and posers.
You gotta do it. If you don't, you're down there with them, and then you might as well be one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no worse fate than to be a poser.
Oh, God,
let them open up a gallon of haterade.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oof.
All right. Up next, we've got Mistress.
Again, with these hot opens.
Yeah.
It's a dependable riff.
I love that.
I need more of that.
I wish, man.
I stand on the brink of your mind, living inside a nightmare from which I just cannot awake. Stand on the edge of your life, just give me another moment from which I will never awake.
Reminds me of washing dishes.
Yeah.
I just imagine washing dishes and the song is on and I'm like, I should change this, but I can't because my hands are wet.
That is so perfect. That is exactly right. You nailed it. That is it. That's one of your best observations you've ever made.
Thank you.
That's really,
in my life, yeah,
you really
I feel
did
really
it.
Good.
I'm not gonna read the whole thing.
Okay.
But I'm sure you're looking at the same comment I am.
I don't think I am.
I'm looking at the comment from Standing on the Edge.
No, I haven't read that one yet, but go for it.
Okay, so this thing's huge. I'll just start. It says, I consider that the song is about the hardship brought on by idolizing women. Thus the name of the song, Mistress. I stand on the brink of your mind. Stand on the edge of your life may represent the lack of importance given to him by the woman he desires, or simply his incapacity to understand her, her thought, her mind, her in general. Living inside a nightmare from which I just cannot awaken emphasizes the suffering of the man bound to deify women. And then he goes on to basically Yeah, line by line. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, that one line is, one can consider the song to the opposite of the androgyny myth. I'm like, whoa.
Where the perfect being was split into two, the man and the woman, and the two spend their lives searching for each other in order to recreate their perfection? Yes. That androgyny myth?
That androgyny
myth. Oh, man. Okay.
Classic androgyny myth.
We all know it.
Well, Draymond did say...
And he is a genius.
He's a genius. Yes. And he is a genius. But he did say that like some of the... At this time especially, he was like having a terrible time with relationships. Like over the years, like he said that he'd just been burned so many times that he wasn't even... mad, he was just giving up.
Who's breaking Draymond's heart?
Not geniuses. This is, I want to say, this is what I was laughing at. The first comment here from Man of Fire 959 says, I think this song is about someone who loved somebody, but she dumped him and he is now trying to move on or kill himself. Okay, sure. Yeah, okay. One of the two. One of the two, Man of Fire. Thank you for that.
How you doing? Well, I'm moving on. Also, might kill myself.
Or I'm murdering myself.
One of the two.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's interesting.
All right. Next up, not a Prodigy cover. Breathe.
Too much of this voice.
Oh, I know. But I believe this chorus brings it. I think that chorus, I wrote that chorus is Draymond getting shit done. But yeah, these verses are, you know, I just got no use for them.
Yeah. Nice 11/4 time signature in this song.
Oh, yeah?
That's what a comment says. I have okay. no fucking idea.
I was like, whoa.
I have something
Wait
to
a minute.
Tell you.
Is Jenny a genius?
No.
Well, Jenny, a genius.
Hold on,
a genius.
I'm still Googling Linkin Park. I am a genius, for sure.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, I don't know anything about time signatures.
Yeah. No, all I found in these comments were people trying to say whether or not he's saying God damned or God damn in lyric corrections. There's like a lot of back and forth on that. Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's funny is we were saying that song in the Iowa where it's like, oh, this is late enough in the album where I'm fine with this and I'm on board. And I remember this song came out and I remember thinking this is a late album track. If this was on The Sickness, I would let it slide.
Yeah, I agree.
But no, not here.
Yeah, this reminds me, like, this whole album kind of, it's like when you have a cousin or something who was like, you were like friends with and they were like real cool. And then like they went and to like community college or something and like took one philosophy class. And then they come back to the holidays and they're just like, here's the thing, man. Blah, 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 blah. But like, and then you're just like, ugh.
So you're saying that this album is my cousin Brandon. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Yes,
yep. Oh, yeah. That's a very good analogy.
Or me, circa when I went to community
oh,
college.
Oh, and me. And me when I came back from like my one class. Like
I took a philosophy course, yeah. So I know it all now.
Oh my God. I was the fucking worst. I told somebody that I was a literary theorist because I thought of something that I thought might be a theory, which was just if you know the historical context of the book, it helps you understand it better. I thought that was mine. And I told someone that. So when I say this, please don't take it as me being cooler than that. I am guilty.
So basically, Jenny, you bought yourself a cup that said world's greatest
genius.
Genius.
Literary theorist. Yes. Literary theorist. Yes, that's right. I was such an asshole. I know my believe years for sure. For sure.
I mean, yeah, if we want to follow it, you know, that first Disturbed album is like senior year, man. Cool as shit. Getting crazy. World's in front of you. Getting buck wild. And then Believe is, you know, freshman year. Hey, man, you ever heard of atheism?
Oh, my God.
Have you heard of the Cogito?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you smoke weed in the bushes with a libertarian wearing a long fur coat. Maybe that was just me.
Hey, I was talking to Wolf. Wait, the guy who named himself Wolf? Yeah, he's got some good ideas. Yeah.
You know what? These rules are there because somebody made them.
Time you know what? Is a man-made construct, so...
Time's a flat circle. Yeah.
Listen, you guys, they keep telling you that that's the way things are, but is that the way they should be?
Guys, finals week, I'm tired as shit.
Do you guys got a job lined up for next summer?
All right.
I don't exactly know what I'm going to do with this degree.
Oh, too real.
Yeah.
If I had one. Bound is next.
Ooh, here we go. Jenny, thoughts on Bound?
I just want this album to be done. That's how I feel.
So this song, and it took this listen just now for it to really click with me, is that I like the riff at the start. This, I was trying to figure out what the riff reminded me of, because it feels like it has a little bit of a sway, a little bit of a swagger. I wrote a little bit of a prowl to it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But then you get into how he sings it. He sings it smooth. And then you think about what he's saying about, he's like, I'm not ready to die, girl, because what you don't tell me. And he's basically saying, like, I'm getting pulled into this bad situation and I'm getting away from it. The drayman of the sickness would be embracing the darkness. He would be, that's the thing, he's backing away. And that's the thing, is that's not what we want. I mean, maybe for health reasons, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
But for entertainment, it's like, no, I want the guy who's like, you know, give your darkness to me, you know,
yeah.
I'm enveloping it and then screaming it, you know? And so, yeah, that's why the song, I feel like flip the vocal, change it thematically, keep the music the same way, I'd be on board.
Yeah.
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 So.
Well, I agree.
Yeah. There we go.
It's boring, but...
Yeah.
All right. Devour is next. Still enough. Upset.
Yeah.
I'm kind of done. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, this one, I wrote, this thing never takes off in any meaningful way.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I like that this song is described in songmeanings.com as possibly satanic. I'm not going to call it satanic, but...
It's a 50-50 chance.
Possibly.
Possibly. There could be some Satan in it.
Yeah, this song didn't do anything for me.
No.
Well, fuck it. Let's go to the last song.
Last one.
Darkness. Matt's curious.
Studio with all the lights turned off.
Candles.
Oh, candles for sure.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
A rug that was purchased at One World Market.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, from under the rug, the guy appears, a single tear rolling down his face.
He goes, "Now I understand why you left me out."
Yes.
In the future, could I please be a mountain?
So let me tell you something about this song, you guys. This is the one where I'm on board with his singing, because it makes sense here.
It totally makes sense for the song.
And I feel like this is the one where I'm like, oh, this, if like he did a whole album of like these type of songs that were soft and not disturbed like songs while doing this vocal, I would be fine with that. Not new metal.
Not new metal. I actually liked this song.
Yeah, I liked it. I did.
But it is not new metal.
Yeah. And that's Believe.
That's Believe.
Jenny, thoughts on this killing?
No. No. I will say that I respect that, like, they tried something different. And that they, as much as I love, like, the big, dumb, fun things that we heard before, I can definitely respect, like, when something like that happens in your life, it will impact, you know, whatever you're creating. And so, I mean, I can totally respect that. I don't think that the songs on this album are bad.
No.
No.
I just don't really like them that much.
Yeah. And it's not a case of, like, they were 100%, everybody was 100% on board and knew what they were doing. Like, there's no hesitancy. The concepts are there. They know what they're going for. It's just not what we... as a new metal podcast want.
Yeah. Or yeah. Me as a person in the world.
That too.
Either. But yeah, so this is just like a, hey, sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Matt, what do you think? Oh.
Oh. God fucking damn.
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I'm so excited. I have the sickness again.
Yeah. Yes. Get up. Get up.
Oh, my God. I miss this. I miss the way we used to be. He said it couldn't be done. Tell me that it's. I have chills.
I am sweating right now. And I was totally fine seconds ago.
Man.
That's what I think.
Thank you. Oh,
thank you, Matt.
I needed that.
I needed that. That we needed that.
We needed that.
Oh, man.
Something for your ear holes.
Oh, yeah, we did need that for our ear holes.
We did.
Thank you, Draymond.
You know what? It is true, though. If you're ever feeling down, things aren't going so great, put on Dropping Plates.
You will feel better instantly. Yes. Whether it's because you think the song is sweet or it's hilarious, yes. You will feel better.
Yeah. You can also think it's both.
Yeah. Very true. All right. Well, that was Disturbed, Believe.
Yeah. That does bring us to the end of the episode. We are, when this episode drops, we will be a week away.
A week away.
From our live show, June 7th, 9 p.m., Go Comedy Improv Theater in Ferndale, Michigan. Tickets on sale, gocomedy.net. I'm going to be there.
I'll be there.
I will be there.
We're going to have shirts.
Raffle.
Stickers.
Oh, let's we don't have the clearance, but we're going to do it no matter what.
Okay.
So some people may know that Motor Kitty Detroit is a local charity that helps stray cats and abandoned cats in the city of Detroit.
Yep.
Get adopted, get neutered, get fixed up, get their
lives back
get
together.
Get their lives
back together.
Yeah.
It happens to have a sweet connection because it is run by the married couple that is West Borland and Queen Kwong.
Yeah.
I love that we both.
Queen Kwong.
Queen
yes.
Kwong. Yeah.
We've reached out to them to let them know that we're doing this. They haven't reached back out to us yet. That is fine.
That's okay.
Because we're doing it regardless. This isn't a, hey, please come to our show because it's.
Yeah.
It's a natural fit thing.
Yes. We are donating our proceeds to Motor Kitty Rescue. So, yeah. And we'll also have a link up on this episode if you are out of state and or out of the country and would like to donate. We'll put a link to that so you can donate as well. And, yeah, it's going to be a super fun show. Live, who's tweeting? Who is speaking
to us directly? I forgot how to talk.
I forgot how it goes.
I'm a genius.
You're a genius. And geniuses are difficult.
That's true.
You know? So, yeah, it's going to be a super fun show. So get your tickets. Incredible. I'm sure you're seeing them around town. The incredible poster.
Mark Rudolph
did. I ran into Mark at a record store, and he didn't initially recognize me. And then he said, I should have recognized you. I was staring at your face for a week making this poster. It's going to be a night to remember.
Truly.
We're talking about Korn. Follow the leader.
Twist might get in the canon.
Twist might be reconsidered. I started my listens for Follow the Leader. What a trip.
All right.
What an experience.
No, I have listened.
Matt Nas.
Which is rare. I normally do not listen.
So going into this live show, all of us will have listened to the album. Then.
That's right.
Wow.
And I'm going to watch all the videos, even though I've seen all of them.
Yeah!
And...
Oh.
Guys, get ready, because we have to talk about that song.
That's right.
All in the Family.
We're going to have to talk about All in the Family, and what better place to do it than in front of a crowd of people. Absolutely.
Good point.
Yep, for
all
sure.
All right. Well, we hope to see you there. Sincerely, it would mean the world to us.
Yes.
To have Road Riders, Indigo Angels, Ross.
Ross Robinson.
Ross Robinson.
Just throwing it out there,
It'd
Ross.
It'd be great. It'd be great.
I'll comp your ticket.
Hey, yep. Mm-hmm.
So.
Fred Fielding.
Wes.
Jonathan. Otto.
Oh, John Otto, yeah. You gotta come.
Gotta come.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Davis.
Tommy Lee, you're even invited.
Oh, wow.
All the crazy town people can come.
Draymond.
I cannot comp your tickets or too many of you.
Draymond, we have a dolly and a straitjacket.
Yes, yeah. We will wheel in Draymond if he needs it.
And we love having long philosophical conversations.
Love it.
Still exists.
Obviously, of course, Jared, 100% invited.
Yes.
He might need a ride. Check his Facebook.
Yeah, he's having some tough times with that Winnie.
Yeah, a couple problems with the van. But yeah. Jared, 100% invited. I'm trying to think.
You know who's not?
Who's not?
Serge.
Oh, he's invited.
Oh!
I'm just not getting coffee.
No coffee, Serge.
No. Max, of course. Invited and Gloria.
Yeah.
Yep. But no, then we can invite the guys from Sepultura then.
Everyone's invited. It's like a wedding. You just show up and behave.
We'll put them on different sides of the room.
Exactly.
Okay.
Sam Sage, she will seat everybody correctly.
That is true.
We'll let her know, hey, there's a little bit of friction between these bands.
I have a feeling that no matter what Paolo will be, we'll have some backhanded comment made about his bass playing.
That is true.
Yeah.
She'll be like, oh, you're the guy that plays shitty bass, right? Mm-hmm. Won't be back. It'll just be like straightforward.
You know, we'll also throw it out there. Ray from Korn and David, even though David's no longer in Korn, both invited.
Done. All right.
All right. Done. Well, now you know our guest list.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
subject to change.
Yeah.
Subject to change. None of those people may be there.
In spirit.
All right. All right. Thank you so much. Keep on saying hello on Facebook, Roach Coach on Facebook, Roach Coach on Twitter, and RoachCoachPodcast@gmail.com. Coach with a K. Jenny, thank you.
Lauren, thank you.
Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. See you soon.
Bye. Bye.